at one verse in 1 Samuel tonight. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Well, we're going to look at one verse in chapter 18. First Samuel chapter 18. We're going to look at verse 21. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us tonight. We ask that the Holy Spirit would just speak through me and that only what he would have to be said would be said in Jesus' name. 1 Samuel 18, verse 21. So Saul said, I will give her to him, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Now he's talking about his daughter Michal, right? And I know you guys read this last week, so we won't really go too much into this. But I just wanted to point out in this particular passage, you know, Paul said that the Old Testament was written for our example. That means that even though these are literal stories, sometimes we want to take them and we want to spiritualize, what does this mean to me in my life? And of course, in this particular role, I see the devil there. Amen. You know, my enemy is not man, it's the devil. Amen. The Bible says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And the devil has snares. You know, Saul said that I'm going to give her to him that she may be a snare. That reminds me of a story. Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. Eddie, help me out here. Jonathan Edwards. There we go. I got it. One day, a young man came to Jonathan Edwards, who was one of the great preachers of yesteryear, and said, Reverend Edwards, I'd like to ask your permission to marry your daughter. I'd like her hand in marriage. And he said, no. And he said, well, why not? He said, she's not worthy of you. And he misunderstood him. He said, you're not worthy of her. And he goes, well, sir, I have a job I can provide for you. He said, no, you didn't hear me. I said, she's not worthy of you. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, she has got a temper like a bear cat. And he said, sometimes people can handle the devil more than he can handle the devil in someone. And I thought it was a funny story. It was something like that. I may have not said it exactly right. Yeah, talking about his wife, yeah. Married to his sister. There you go. But you got more laughs out of yours than I did of mine. But at any rate, the point is that man is not our enemy. The devil is, amen? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But the devil will set up snares to snare us. The word here in Hebrew is mokesh. M-O-Q-E-S-H, pronounced mokesh. And that's where we get the word snare. It means a noose for catching animals, literal or figurative, by implication a hook for the nose to be ensnared, a snare or a trap, according to Strong's. And, you know, the devil knows how to ensnare us. Amen? And the only thing we can do to prevent that is stay close to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And when we go on down to verse 26, it says, and when his servant told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. And so David sees this as, wow, this is a cool thing. I'm in cahoots with the king, right? And I'm going to be his son-in-law. And he doesn't know that Saul is doing this as a snare. And sometimes we can have things come our way and we can see them as something positive when it's really set up as a snare from the devil. Has anybody ever experienced something like that in your life? Amen. Where, you know, the devil loves to blindside us, doesn't he? One of the good examples also in the Old Testament, of course, is from the book of Judges. And I'll just read this one verse here. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her, this is Delilah, and said to her, "Entice him and see wherein his great strength lies, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give you every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver." Now we know the story of Samson and Delilah, and many people say that his strength was his hair, but he was a Nazarite. The hair was an outward sign of his inward commitment. Amen. He was one of the original promise keepers. And, of course, Samson's problem was he was a skirt chaser. And that's one of those things that sometimes can really snare a man. Amen. And so, again, the devil knows where our weaknesses is. He knows what things in our life he can put there. But, again, is Delilah his enemy? You might say, well, yeah, no, she's not. Are the Philistines that are bribing her his enemy? No. The devil is his enemy. Amen. And the devil put the Philistines up to bribing her to do this, to do that. And so we do not, again, wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against demonic spirits that come to snare us and destroy us. And so the idea is that I see these things. David saw this. I'm going to be Saul's son-in-law as a positive thing. I'm sure that Samson saw Delilah as a positive thing. Could she have been a positive thing? Yeah, if he'd have been strong enough, huh? In the words of the Boundaries, no is a complete sentence, right? But women's tears can have tremendous effect. You know, here's a man who, with a donkey's jawbone, killed 1,000 men. He didn't have an Uzi up in top of a hotel room mowing them down. He had the Lord. And it was righteous. He was killing Philistines. But after all that, the devil used one woman to weaken him. And that was because he took his eyes off the Lord. In Genesis 3:6 we read, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and ate it and gave it to her husband, and he did eat." And here again, we see that here you have a person looking outwardly at something that appears to be very good. Amen? And so what are we saying here? We're saying there's a pattern here, isn't there? There's a pattern that what we see on the surface isn't always what it appears to be. And we have to be able to listen and hear and pray. Amen. Back when my oldest son Nathan was little, I was in the Air Force in Abilene, Texas. And one day we got a knock on the door. And we opened the door, and there's a man with a suit with a big giant suitcase and looking briefcase. It was more like a suitcase than a briefcase. And he asked if he could come in, and I said, "I'm not interested." And he goes, "Well, you might be if you think about what I can do for your son." And he didn't know I had a son, but, you know, he's guessing. And I said, "Well, my son is 2 years old." He goes, "All the more important that you need to listen to me right now." And I said, "Well, what's this all about?" "It's about his education." Said, "Well, it's kind of early to think of." "No, it's never too early to think about his education." So somehow the man got into my house. And the next thing I know, I am signing a contract for encyclopedias that I'm going to be paying on for I don't know how long. Not long ago, I gave them to Nathan. I said, "You know, some of this is probably dated, and what isn't in here is on the World Wide Web, and you'll never need these, but I paid big bucks for them for you, so you need to take them and get them out of my house." That's it. The thing about it is, I couldn't have predicted that by the time Nathan was old enough to need encyclopedias, the World Wide Web would be around. I didn't know that. But this man who showed up at my door convinced me that I needed something that I never really needed. Amen? And so, consequently, I signed the money, and I took the encyclopedias, and that was the rest is history. So flip over with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And most of us can quote some of these verses. Ephesians chapter 6. But let's just look at them together, talking about spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6 verse 11. Well, let's back up to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Where is my power at? It's in the Lord. Amen. My power is not in me. I don't pretend to possess any great power. There's nothing I could do. I couldn't heal a flea if he had a headache. But anything that I am because of him. Amen. And all praises go to him. I don't accept any praises. Everything is Jesus. It's the Lord. And so we're told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and to put on the whole armor of God. Now, he didn't say, put on whatever piece you think you might need today. Because again, the devil is so cunning. You may think you'll need a helmet when you might need a shield, or you may think you need a shield when you might need a helmet. So we are to put on the whole armor of God. Amen? Every bit of it. And he says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Who's our enemy? I've said it five times. Who's our enemy? The devil. That's right. The idiot, not man. People may hurt you. People may disappoint you. You may have conflict. But I'm not at war with anybody but the devil. Amen? That's the only enemy I have is the devil. And so I'm wanting to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so I had to put on the whole armor of God. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, you might go back in time to the days of Nero. And you might talk to one of these Christians that's behind bars in the arena waiting to be fed to the lions. And he might tell you, Nero is my enemy. And in a sense, he would be right. Nero's the one getting ready to feed him to the lions. But who put it in Nero? Again, it's the devil. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we have to keep our perspective on who our enemy is. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You know, my biggest weakness is not walking with Christ in heavenly places 24 hours a day. Because when I'm up there with Jesus, that's where the battle's at. It's not down here. If I'm down here in the natural, I don't even have a chance to win, because the battle's up here in the heavenlies, amen? And if I'm going to seek to win the battle against the devil, I have to be in the heavenlies with Jesus, with my armor on, fighting the spiritual battle. That's where it's all at, amen? It's in the spirit realm, heavenly places. Therefore, anytime you see therefore, wherefore, it's that connecting statement. We've made this statement. You're not fighting flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. You know what? A lie is a terrible way to get out of something. How many of you guys remember back maybe when you were a kid and you're getting ready to get a SWAT and you say, I didn't do it. Right? And I can think back of times when I lied at school and said I didn't do it to get out of a SWAT, but I still remember the lie. Amen? Truth is truth, and we have to be honest not only with each other but with ourselves. And so we have to gird ourselves with truth. Now, obviously the truth is also the gospel, and we need to be ready to tell people the truth. The truth makes men free. Amen? And then put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, what is one of the things the devil likes to lie to Christians about? You're no good. You're a failure. You blew it again. You're a hypocrite, right? And so, but our righteousness is in Christ. Amen? It's in the blood. And so that's what keeps our heart right. It protects our heart. It's the breastplate. And we know who we are in Christ. Our righteousness is in him. And then having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The preparation of the gospel of peace. That means I am prepared. I'm always prepared for the gospel of peace. And then above all, and I like that statement, above all. He does say that this is one of the higher priorities. Those are all important. We're told to put on the whole armor of God, but above all, the shield of faith. You see, the darts that the devil throws are not literal darts. They are doubt, fear, unbelief, worry, dread, anxiety, anger, jealousy, malice, unforgiveness, and he's constantly throwing these things. And he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to divide and conquer. Amen. But man is not our enemy. The devil is our enemy. And so we lift the shield of faith. We block these things. We say, I'm not listening to him, devil, you liar, right? And we put on the shield. We hold up the shield of faith. And we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can love my enemies. I can walk in truth. I can be all things that God wants me to be. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. One can send 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. Many will fall on my side. It won't come nigh to me. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. And guess who's following me? Mercy is following me. Amen? Goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. Look what the shield of faith can do. Amen? Ooh, I think somebody's following you. Yeah. I heard this story just recently. I was listening to this sermon, and this guy was talking about how this lady at his church had some mental issues, and she got fixated that someone was following her. And they kept saying, nobody's following you. Nobody's following you. This went on for months, and finally the preacher said, let me handle this. And he flipped to the 23rd Psalm. He says, you're right. Two guys are following you. She said, I knew it. And he said, goodness and mercy showed her. After that, she was okay. Oh, those guys are goodness and mercy following me. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life if you let Jesus be your shepherd. Amen. And you have to let him shepherd you. He's got to call the shots. Amen. All right. And so the shield of faith will quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And then he tells us to take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. I'm saved. What's one of the things the devil likes to tell you? You're not saved. I've had someone come to me and say, I don't think I'm saved. I said, why not? I just don't feel saved. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know, I mean, I know sometimes I sin and I feel terrible. I said, then you're saved. Being saved doesn't mean we don't sin. The best indication that I'm saved is that I sin and I feel like I feel bad, right? And if I feel bad, then that means that I'm saved because my nature has been changed. If you don't feel regret and remorse for your actions, you need to get down to this altar and pray through. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, and it cuts going and coming. Amen. Thus says the Lord, get thee behind me, Satan. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. Jesus used it to defeat the devil, and the only way you're going to win is through the Word of God. Nola Jean, she's like a walking, talking Bible with this praise move thing. I sure wish I was closer. I'd be up here getting stretches and the Word of God in me, and everybody ought to come to praise moves. There's your commercial, Nola. Because, I mean, we're talking about the Word of God. We're not talking about anything willy-nilly. We're talking about the powerful seed of the Word of God that cuts going and coming every single time. Amen? Praise God. And so after I have the helmet of salvation, I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then a lot of people stop there, but this is probably the most important aspect of this passage. Praying always. Say that with me. Praying always. Praying always. with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, you know, we say praying in the Spirit, and that can and does mean praying in tongues. However, there is a type of prayer in the spirit realm. When I get in the spirit realm and I'm praying, I'm effective because I'm praying in faith, I'm praying the Word. All of these things come together, and I feel the unction of the Holy Spirit as I begin to pray, and I feel power as I begin to pray. And so I am praying in the Spirit. Amen? You don't pray and eat potato chips, then you're praying in the flesh because you're feeding the flesh, right? We ain't going to pray. Taking a drink of Coke or whatever. I'm being silly, but you understand what I'm saying. There is praying in the Spirit, and then you're in the flesh. And the two are diametrically opposed to each other. So you have to, you can't say, well, I'll just leave back in the recliner and pray a little, Lord, thank you, right? And I'm not saying you have to be standing, you have to be pacing, but you do need to be praying in the Spirit, amen? That's where the power comes. Praying in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, this part should be everybody's part, but I can tell you this, it is a pastor's role, because it is the pastor's role to pray watchfully. Amen? That means that I am listening to the Lord, and I am watching for anything the devil would try to do to come in and split the church or cause something. And what do? I just pray. Amen? I come against it in Jesus' name, and I pray. And so we have to be watchful in our prayer, persevering. I remember some of the events of 2006 when my first wife left me. I think watchfulness sometimes is an anointing. And I remember sitting at the dinner table, and I remember hearing about this coworker who goes to the casino, and she won this much money and this much money. And I begin to sense in that watchfulness that this lifestyle was luring her. Does that make sense? Into this lifestyle. And I said something, and she got a little defensive, and it wasn't 3 months later that everything fell apart. We need to have that watchman anointing, because we never know what or where the devil's going to strike next. Amen? And we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against these principalities and powers. And so we pray, and we are being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Perseverance. Say that with me. Perseverance. I said it earlier. It means you don't quit. Right? Quitters never win, and winners never what? Quit. Amen? Men ought always to pray and not to faint, lose heart. Right? We didn't start the race to quit. We start the race to win, to cross the finish line. Amen? And so we keep going. We persevere. We persevere. We persevere. We persevere. My first pastor, Pastor Mayo, used to say in that Georgia accent, keep on keeping on, and when you can't keep on a little longer. And that's what he said. And he kept saying it, and he still says it to this day, because that is the creed of every man and every woman of God, that I won't quit. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That's where we are at. Amen? We're not quitting. Praise the Lord. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen? You know, boldness does not come from learning how to speak or going to Bible college. Boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen? And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're bold. Amen? And boldness is not loud. Hold that thought for 1 minute, okay? Boldness is not loud. Boldness is not arrogant. Boldness can be loud, but boldness is confidence in where you're at, amen, and who God is. Now, I told you about the encyclopedia salesman. And I'm kind of going to brag on how stupid I am now. Do you guys mind if I do that? Because No.
If you can't get up here and be transparent, you're being phony, right? Because I'm not all there is by any means.
Joshua chapter 9 is the story of Gibeon. And I have made this mistake I don't know how many times in my life. And you'd think I'd learn, but God's very patient with me. You see, the Gibeonites heard that Joshua, what Joshua and his men did to Ai. And you remember Ai was that little town when they first came in, and they just wiped it out. And so when they heard what they did, they went and they made as if they were ambassadors from this faraway land. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, and they had these old wore-out wine bottles, right? And they tore their clothes, and they had their shoes all wore out, and barely hanging on their feet, and all these old garments. And then, as if that wasn't enough, then they took this old moldy bread. Everybody say moldy bread. Moldy bread. Look at that moldy bread. How long has that bread been there? How long have they been walking? They must have been walking for months and months. Look, that bread is moldy, right? And so they took this moldy bread, and then they went to Joshua, and they came to the camp at Gilgal, and they said to him and to the men of Israel, "We come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a league with us." And so, you know, okay, you come from a far country. Well, what do you think? Well, look at their shoes. Joshua, I don't know, but look at their clothes. Look at those wine bottles. Look at that moldy bread. I mean, these guys have traveled for miles and miles and miles, and they want to make a league with us. Now, God had said, don't make a league with anybody in that land. Conquer them all. So they don't think they're from Canaan. They think they're from somewhere else. And then it tells us, and the men looked at their victuals, King James, their food, this moldy bread, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. In other words, they forgot to pray first, right? You know, and it just seemed like a good deal, just like those encyclopedias. I should do this. You know, if a salesman tells you got to buy it today, I've learned I don't have to buy it today. I can go home and pray about it. They don't want you doing that because 9 out of 10 times you probably won't buy it after you pray about it. Amen? You won't be making those forever payments on those encyclopedias. But they didn't. And they got locked in to this thing that God never intended them to be locked into. Now, I'm not going to end on a negative note. I want to end on a positive note. We talked about the snare. Well, listen to the testimony of one of Pharaoh's men about Moses. This is Exodus 10:7. And Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" Now, I love to eavesdrop into the enemy's camp, don't you? See, I'm not going to focus on the fact that I sometimes have forgot to pray before things. I'm just going to try to remember it this time, amen? And you try to remember, and we do that. But then I'm not going to worry about how, oh, Pastor said the devil's going to put a snare on me. No, I'm going to put a snare on the devil, amen? See, that's what the men of Pharaoh said, you know, How long is this man going to be a snare to us? And say, what's the devil saying about you in hell right now? That, you know, that Karen has been a snare on us. We thought we had her, and she's quoting scripture like the Son of God. Hallelujah. You know, we're putting a snare on the devil. Amen. I'm not fighting man. I'm fighting the devil, and I'm putting a snare on him. Praise the Lord. Come on up, Nola. There's a song that the words say, "Oh, what joy we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear." all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. No? Well, you can sing it. You got it? Well, all right. Play it. Sing it. Let's sing it. Let's sing it as our closing. Because, you know, it's so true. As you're finding it, somebody see if you can find that, what number that is. And bring Nola a hymnal. But, but as we get this ready, the devil is our enemy. He's wanting to snare us. The answer is prayer. There's the short version. 63 in the red book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Aren't you glad Jesus is our friend tonight? Aren't you glad he's for us and not against us? Did you get a book? Anybody bring one? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you.
All our sins and griefs to bear.
Yes, yes.
Got it.
And maybe as we're closing tonight, maybe you've felt the cold breath of the devil on your neck. You will find a solace in Jesus. He is the rock the builders rejected, and he's a firm foundation. You can take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. He'll never leave you and never forsake you.
Thank you.
He's my friend. He's your friend. He's our friend. And he's our hope. Lord, we praise you for being who you are tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.